would you like to create profitable, transformational retreats? Sherry Rosenthal will tell us how to do it. She's the founder and a chief retreat strategist at Wanderlust Entrepreneur, where she helps heart-centered entrepreneurs create transformational, profitable retreats. And with over two decades of experience in the retreat industry, she's had the honor of working with some big names, including Don Miguel Ruiz, author of The Four Agreements, and guiding thousands of coaches and healers to run retreats that change lives worldwide. And she's trained and empowered over 20,000 retreat leaders to design, prize, promote, and monetize transformational retreats that leave a lasting impact while traveling the world and earning a profit to be proud of. And she's also the CEO of Journeys of the Spirit, a boutique agency that has planned and managed over 1,000 retreats worldwide since 2003. So Sherry, tell us more about, first, how can someone create a profitable, transformational retreat?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, Lily, I think it starts with even the construction of it, because you probably noticed everyone is calling everything a retreat right now. And that is not so. So for me, a retreat is an experiential event that takes place in a location that aligns with what you are teaching and gives you time to go within and process the material. So let me give you a quick example of that and to give everybody an example. Let's say you are a coach that teaches people to speak from the stage. Most of those events are live events that someone has at a hotel, and someone is speaking from the stage, and maybe you get up on the stage and you practice your speaking. But what if you did it someplace in Europe where they had a stunning amphitheater, ancient amphitheater, and you rented that for your group and allowed everyone to speak from that stage? So in other words, they're having an actual experience of being with ancient orators and speaking themselves. It just takes that event to another level. It adds value and makes it much more worthwhile, I think, than just being in a hotel room. And since COVID, people really do want more experiential things that are going to change their lives and turn their heads around. So this, in general, in the travel industry, experiential travel is skyrocketing.
Thank you. My business partner, Harry, and I, we are very fun. And although I would say to some extent, we don't really show that on social media, but we are in smaller groups. And every time we speak on stage, we are very fun. And I feel that's a side that not a lot of speakers showcase, and maybe because they don't actually have that side. And I'm wondering whether there's a way to like implement your authentic side, where you are, you know, very charismatic or very fun with what you're actually teaching to elevate the experience. And if yes, what would be your blueprint for someone to create profitable transformational retreats that leverage their authenticity?
Well, Lily, I think you always have to be yourself in your business. This is something that I always teach, because a lot of people feel like they have to be a certain way to really be successful. And I am very much me on all of my online and live events. People who know me well know I'm a little crazy, a little Brooklyn, and I tell it like it is. Same thing for you guys. So I feel that it's really about embracing who you are thoroughly, and a retreat is a great place to do it. The thing about profitable retreats, what people don't really think about, is when they create a live event, normally it's a large group of people, larger group of people. And often when you do a retreat, it's small. So pricing becomes very, very critical, because one person not coming, if you've priced, for example, on 10 people coming to your event, can make a big difference unless you are pricing profitably. So we actually teach a particular method for pricing a retreat. So even if you're not hitting that upper goal, you still make the profit you should have. And of course, another thing, Lily, is a lot of people think of a retreat as a singular event. They don't make an upsell at the end. Like you wouldn't think of doing a live event without having an upsell. But for some reason, people do retreats and there's no upsell. There's nothing to follow. So if you can imagine, people are having this incredible experience, all this transformation, and then nada. Afterwards, they go back in their life, no support, no community, no nothing. So that also is part of making a profitable retreat.
Thank you. I've seen retreats priced at anywhere between, let's say, 3,500 all the way up to, let's say, 50, even 100,000. So I'm wondering, what would you say makes the difference between someone being able to price something at, let's say, 50 to 100,000 for, let's say, a 5-day or a 7-day retreat? And what kind of deliverables would need to be included in that to make it so worthwhile for someone to feel like, wow, it's a deal that I got to come here?
Okay, so first of all, when you want to create a retreat and you're pricing it, remember there's two aspects. One is what are your hardcore costs? Because if you think of the structure of a live event, the person's paying for the room and they're paying for the food. You're charging for the event itself. Not so when you do a retreat because it's normally all inclusive. So when you're talking about, pricing, think of if someone's doing exclusive glamping or they're staying in like basically a 6-star resort, that is going to change the price right there. You couldn't price it at $3,500, right? So, or you were doing a safari in Africa, you're not going to get away with anything under 10K. Just on the costs itself, if you have something luxurious. So that's one thing. The other half is what do you feel you deserve for the transformation that you are offering? If you feel confident in the transformation that you're offering to your community, then you just add the two items together, basically, all your hard costs and what it is you want to charge per person. That's your cost. So when building your sales page, if you really have designed an experience, it's going to show up on your sales page. So you are going to get to build value with everything you say on the page. So by the bottom of that page, they feel like if they don't go on this experience, their life and business is going to fall apart. It's up to you to be able to express the actual transformation that your retreat is going to offer. So, if it's a business retreat, yes, you're going to share information that shows them they're going to have an amazing ROI and the price of the retreat is minor compared to what they're going to walk away with. If it's more like a spiritual and inner retreat, it's how their life is going to be better, their relationships, their choice of job. Just the way they handle the ups and downs of life more effectively. So, if you can communicate that to people, they're going to see the value and they're going to understand what they're going to walk away with. They'll have your retreat will have a clear promise as to what is going to happen by the end of that retreat.
Thank you. For someone organizing their very first profitable transformational retreat, what are some core to-dos in order to make sure the first everybody turns up, whether it's 10 people, 20 people, however many you plan to have, and also you have the best possible experience in line with what you promised, and you also over-deliver, I assume. So what would need to happen to make this a reality?
You just have to plan an excellent retreat. I mean, the whole design of it, like I said, alignment and beauty. So if you have to realize you want the location to help teach the material. This is different than a live event or an online event. We do a lot of those. It's totally different. I can't give that experience in an online event or from the stage. Yes, I can have transformation, but I can't have an actual experience. That is what really makes the difference. The activities that you have on your retreat are going to make the difference. So I would say it's that process of planning and designing something amazing, pricing it correctly, promoting it, preferably to your community and not cold traffic. I always say to people, you should be growing your list and following all year long. Then market your retreats to the people who know, like, and trust you the best. Personally, I wouldn't want to go away and travel with someone I didn't know, nor did I know how they teach or what their philosophy is. I'm not spending money being trapped with someone for a week, not knowing what the hell is going to happen. So that doesn't work. So it's the promotion of it, that you have created a situation in your business that you have a great following and they can't wait to travel with you, because you're offering a more intimate experience. Like, I have a signature online course that I teach. That's very different. It's got hundreds and hundreds of people in it versus if you come on a retreat with me and let's say I have 15 people, that's a totally different experience with me. So that's with your promotion and marketing. And then, of course, you're monetizing. So you could say that there's those four steps. And, of course, doing it legally and safely, because you are responsible for your people legally. And there are seller of travel laws around the world and the U.S. and Canada, because you are packaging travel. So that is something that people need to know.
Thank you. For someone who is generally accessible to their community, so for example, let's say my partner and I organize a lot of events where people can just come, you know, like a lot of free events where they can access me, let's say for 3-4 hours, where we get to have, like, let's say a salsa party, that kind of thing. And for someone who is, let's say, relatively accessible, like, let's say if someone was to write me in WhatsApp, they could just, like, write me anytime and I would reply. How would you still create a profitable transformational retreat, considering that, let's say, it's different when you have, let's say, a coach who is typically not very accessible to their community, and now they get to access this person for, let's say, I don't know, a week or whatever. Now, of course, I'm not accessible in the sense of, oh, they can just turn up at my house anytime and, you know, we get to spend time together. It's different. But still, how do you communicate that value of whatever it is that you're teaching to them?
Well, if people are allowed to see you and you're accessible and you do little fun events for people, that's not the same thing as being with you for a week. Like, for example, in August, the end of August, I rented a 161-foot yacht in Croatia to go from Dubrovnik to Split. They're going to be alone with me on the boat with a beautiful group of people who are all part of the promise too, because they have so much to offer. And we will mastermind and have fun and just connect with each other, get JV partners. So it's a lot different than just going to a mixer. This is not a mixer. This is a transformational event. If you make that clear on your page, I think people will understand. I mean, if people come to my page for my retreat, they can understand the difference. So I think there's no problem being accessible and letting people know you as a person. But there's a difference to when you get together and you're actually getting into that transformational work.
Thank you. For someone who teaches publishing and branding, like me, what would be a suitable location for a transformational retreat that is kind of like in line with what you're teaching?
Depends on what your theme of that retreat is. So if you publish books, what are you teaching?
How to elevate your brand by publishing a book and then becoming popular and becoming like a superstar by publishing a book and then speaking on stage and getting featured in the media and attracting joint venture partners as a result.
Okay, so maybe you want to have your retreat in a location where they can see, you know, to work on their image, let's say. Maybe it's in Paris. Maybe you take them to have an experience for their image itself. That is not directly what you're doing, but it sure as hell would be fun. Like, for example, you could contract with somebody that's going to take them through a store and maybe do their colors, or maybe talk about how they're showing up, the way they look. It does make a difference on a stage, because you can look not great on a stage or fabulous on a stage. And a lot of people have no self-awareness about how they look. So that could be added in. It's not, is it directly what you teach? No, but it does make a difference. And so when you start adding in those little treats, it takes it to a totally different level. So that is more like what I would think just offhand. I'd have to really understand a lot more. But just on a surface level, I would think about what added things would align with what you're doing. If it was someone who had a writing retreat, I could think of maybe doing it in Edinburgh, where, you know, that's like a book capital of Europe. And there's so many different museums and different things that you could do that inspire writing there. So that could be something in that direction. But it's really, if you're talking about elevating brand, it's not just your website, it's you. So that's what I would focus on personally.
Yes, I actually do elevate their brand physically as well. Like, I actually tell them what to wear.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, for the photo shoot, and I pick out clothes for them and jewelry and some, you know, accessories to elevate their look. So
yes, so if you had a professional come in or take them to a store, they had private time in a place and they each could have a new outfit totally done for them, could be something really special.
Thank you. What would you say is the difference between, aside from cost, what is the difference between being able to charge, let's say, $3,500 for a retreat versus charging $35,000 for something very similar, aside from branding and aside from your current positioning, I guess, as a coach? What other elements are important in terms of the experience that would elevate the experience so much that the client feels compelled to kind of go on that retreat?
All right, still, I'm going to bring this home again. I think most people don't understand that the hard costs add a considerable amount of money to the trip itself. Okay, you have to really get that. So you can't compare a $3,500 trip to a $100,000 trip, because on that $100,000 trip, it's not all profit. I doubt someone who wants to charge $100,000 is going to do it in a $2,000 retreat center where there's four people in a room. Come on. It's not even going to happen. So already, if you're contracting to be in a place that's an experience itself, like there's beauty and whatever crazy experience you're creating, that has a cost itself. And again, as long as that experience and all the activities that you have that align with what you are teaching, and then you put your profit in there, whatever your profit is, you have to decide that. So I can say to somebody, I think the net profit you're making is ridiculously low. Everybody has a different idea of what they are worth. So if you want to make $50,000 net profit on your retreat, then you better make it worth it. You can't look at the cost of the retreat alone, because that's not going to tell you anything, because you don't know what they've spent on the behind the scenes things, right? So for example, if you were looking to make a $50,000 net profit, let's say, then you wanted 10 people, then you know you need to add in $5,000 onto the cost per person to make that net you $50,000. So that is how you really have to start to think about it. You
And
can't compare apples and oranges. Don't even go there because I tell people, like people will say, how much is a retreat to Bali? What should it be? How are you asking me that question? Like if you're camping in Bali versus like a absolutely stunning retreat or on an island somewhere off of Bali, and it's an incredible experience. How could you compare the same? Like you would look at the retreat page and you know right away it's a different experience because one retreat page is going to express where they're staying and what they're eating, and the other one is going to express where they're staying and what they're eating. And if you say, I have a Michelin starred chef, trained in a Michelin restaurant, how can you even compare the two? People aren't stupid. I mean, they're going to look at your retreat page as long as it has all the information that, like, we teach you how to make a retreat sales page. It's not a live event sales page. It's not an online course sales page. It's really a sales page that is expressing the experience. I think people can see that. And when they do, then they decide, is this the ROI promised? Is it what they're looking for? Does it make the trip that valuable? It's up to you to express that on your retreat trip page. So that's what I would say to that, Lily, because we get those kinds of questions all the time. It's actually very common to say, I'm taking a group to Egypt. I see most trips are $5,000. Well, I don't care if most trips are $5,000. I only care what you're doing, what the ROI of your trip is, what they're going to walk away with, and have you built value on your sales page? If you've done that, it doesn't matter. Charge $100,000 for your retreat to Egypt. Who gives a shit? It doesn't really make a difference. It's really about what are you bringing to the table and what is that experience going to do for them? So that's what I would say, Lily.
Thank you. So imagine if I was to organize like a retreat for awakened titans. What deliverable would be interesting and what would need to happen so that, let's say, titans that are normally used to getting paid to speak, to kind of incentivize them to get them interested to actually come to the event and actually invest in the retreat. What do you think would need to happen? What kind of exciting activities would make someone like that very interesting in attending?
Well, first of all, I feel like if you are into six, excuse me, forget six, let's just go to seven, eight, $9 million earners. They're always looking how to remove whatever ceiling they have in their mind. It doesn't matter how much you're making, there's always something. You can create activities that challenge them, that scare them, that take them out of their comfort zone to open their circle and experience wider than it is. So I've seen people do very high-end retreats that have activities that are like kind of crazy. For example, I don't know, go shark diving. You could take them to a surfing park, let them do something they haven't done before. Take them on a boat and let them learn how to handle sailing. Just take them somewhere that is going to take them out of their comfort zone and take them beyond where they are. On one of my retreats, we went down to Havasupai Falls, Grand Canyon, and I had my people jump off a 30-foot waterfall. I mean, that maybe doesn't sound like a lot for some people, but when you're standing on top of the 30-foot waterfall, it's scary. So that's just a teeny thing. But if you get really creative, you can come up with some activities that are really, really unusual. And if you scare people, that often will, help them in their business because now they've achieved something personally. And it could be a certain hike that's very scary. Maybe it's up high and there's a view of thousands of feet down that they could fall. So maybe they see their fear of heights or different things they believe about it. It's really just about challenging people.
Thank you. Tell us about some of your case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with that you've helped to run retreats. What are some, let's say, case studies of people? How much do they charge? What's the average? And what kind of activities do they include that make the retreats sellable?
That goes, look, you are thinking more of business retreats, but I have people that are teaching sex retreats for women, tantric retreats, gay naked men's retreats, deeply spiritual retreats, knitting retreats, knife retreats, wine retreats. So that's very broad, that question. But I can give you a very simple example. One of my students did an amazing retreat to Africa. She did a safari retreat, but it was, I can't even say it was five star. I have to say it was a six star retreat. And like the cost of that was quite high. So I don't always ask people, what are you netting personally? But I encourage people to make what they normally make. What do you want to net? I mean, we have beginning people that if they make $10,000 net on a retreat, they're thrilled. And then you have more experienced people that wouldn't leave the house unless they were making $50,000 to $100,000 net, plus their upsell, which could be $500,000, depending on if they're trying to get people into a high-end mastermind or whatever it is that they have next. So, for them, that could be a loss leader, making $100,000 net and then selling somebody into a $500,000 program. $500,000 between all of the people on the retreat, I would say.
Thank you.
So it depends.
So for business retreats, for example, can you give us some examples of the types of activities that you feel entice people into coming to those retreats that make the retreat sellable?
It depends on what they're teaching, Lily. I'm not trying to be difficult here. It's just that every single business retreat is different. The topic is different. As I said, there's a difference between what you're doing, let's say, writing books, teaching somebody how to, I don't know, see, it's very hard for me because I really go by what comes through me when I hear someone talking about the retreat. That information comes through and I can suggest something, but this is so broad that I'm at a loss really to say to you, what should they do? I don't know what they should do. I don't know what they do. That's the problem. So it's very individualized, depending on what you do, what you want to make, what the promise is going to be. Then we can create activities and an experience around it. My travel agency is used to doing this. We do bespoke travel. This is the core of what we do. But I know for me, it's very hard when I'm talking broad strokes. It just doesn't, I apologize. I can't just say, what can you do? I mean, it's really hard.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
They can come to wanderlustentrepreneur.com. We have a lot of different free sources that they could download that will help them out. We do a retreat hotline every Tuesday, which is free. People can come to get to know us, ask questions, or just listen to what other people are expressing. And I think that's a lot of fun. We've got some great downloads. We do a yearly online event. We get over 5,000 people coming to. It's 3 days. It'll blow people out of the water. They will learn things that they never even realized about retreats or the possibilities thereof. So lots of things they can avail themselves of.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.